Dog the Bounty Hunter, a lot to talk with you about today. One of the big things we'll be discussing is your new book, Nine Lives and Counting. And we'll get into that in a moment. But for those who don't know, and most people know who you are, let's just talk briefly. What is a bounty hunter? Help people understand the concept.
Well, a bounty hunter, first of all, the law was signed by Abraham Lincoln in the 1800s. And it is a person that is a citizen that it goes after wanted felons. And that is the hunter. And the bounty, of course, is a cash reward for catching that person. So 44 years I've done it, captured over 10,000 felons, and been very successful because God has been my guide.
You know, your story very much shows the ways that God has been your guide. And we're going to get into that in a second here. You know, I've got to ask you, though, you know, getting into this line of work, obviously, you've been doing this for decades. You became also at the same time a viral sensation in terms of reality stardom, very popular, you know, show. Everybody sort of knew who you were as a result of that. Were you shocked to see how interested people were in you and the work that you do with the popularity of the show?
Well, no. One of my oldest friends, we went to third grade together, named Red in Colorado, and they asked him last year, has Dog changed since he became famous? And Red said, Dog's been famous in his own mind since we were kids. So I don't mean to sound conceited, but I expected this, wanted this. I love how everyone knows me. I love you, Dog. I love that. I love to say I love you back. I just wanted to be well known. And so by the grace of God and miracles, you know, I am.
Well, you know, the path isn't easy. And we've talked in the past about this, but I think it's important we talk about it now. You know, you faced incarceration yourself. You faced struggles before fully embracing, you know, faith for yourself. Talk a little bit about that, because here you are, you know, you're out there hunting bad guys and you went through some of your own struggles. So take us through that journey a little bit.
Well, I was raised by a Assembly of God mother, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost when I was like 7, 9 or something at church camp. So I knew more than most people did, right from wrong. Miracles of God, I knew all that. I never really backslid, but I didn't become lukewarm where God spit me out of his mouth, but I was almost there. So I went to prison in the 70s and I was like, oh no, this is not what, you know, this is exactly what the Bible says, that you'll be on your knees begging. And so in 79, I was released and I started bounty hunting right after that and made it a career. And always, you know, one of the deal breakers with any network is that I say a prayer before I go in the house and after, thanking God for the one before, please help us find him, keep all me and my kids safe, and whoever else was with us. And A&E said, was one of the only networks that said, you can say in Jesus' name. So even though they didn't pay the most, probably the least, because it was just, you know, back then they were known for biography. And A&E, which was Nancy Dubuque, was the president, gave me one of the greatest breaks of my life. So, you know,
was that a deal breaker for you? You know, in terms of the prayer, would you have said no if all the networks said we're not going to let you do it? How would you have responded to that?
Well, back in the day, 2099, that's exactly what they said. I won't say what networks did, but the larger networks said, you know, we have a lot of Jewish, we have a lot of Muslim, we have a lot of this and that, and if we can't let you say that, or we've got to let them say theirs. And so Beth and I were in a parking lot at a steakhouse in Hawaii. Underneath the steakhouse was a parking spot. And I told her, I said, I'll tell you right now, I am, you know, A&E offered the least. And I said, per show. And I said, I am not getting naked in front of God and him saying, you know, hey, you know, you took money over me. And so as the show grew, we caught up with those numbers that the other networks said. So exactly right. I mean, I know that my faith, I know God is absolutely real. And that's what the book is a lot about. And I know that God told me years ago, no more circumstances. Now I'm going to show you miracles beyond ever that you could imagine, think, or want. So as my faith has grown, ever since Beth passed away about 5 years ago and I met Francie, Francie demands it, okay? And the Bible says, where much is forgiven, much is required. So I am required by God Almighty to do what I do. And the Bible says also, the gifts of God's calling are without repentance. So if you're called into the ministry, Sunday school teacher, coach, whatever in God's world, when you get to heaven, you're going to be judged as that person. So I'm going to be judged as an evangelist. So I need to start evangelizing. And, you know, again, because of course, first Jesus, because of Francie, that's one of her conditions too, that we both walk with the Lord hand in hand. And she doesn't believe in divorce, but she told me the other day, oh, you're out. So you ever met
I want to come back into that and come back into the book, but I want to just go back real quickly to, you know, you became a bounty hunter, you got out of jail, you went through that. What for you, I mean, your praying mother, she is one of the most fascinating parts of your story, because you obviously made a decision after going through what you went through, making the decisions you did, getting into bounty hunting, to cling to Jesus finally, and to do it in a way that was life transforming. What was that sort of switch moment for you where you said, I've got to actually live this out to the fullest?
Well, it was in prison, and an inmate asked me, how do you spell was? And I said, W-E-Z, teasing him, and he went, thank you. And I thought, whoa. And then when I left, little Davey said, Dog, what's his name again? And I said, Jesus. There's a song about that. And he said, Jesus, Jesus. And in prison, you couldn't walk around singing, you know, Amazing Grace, because they shank you, right? County jail, you could talk about God and have Bibles. Prison, it's, you're done. You done entered the gates of hell. There is no repentance. So I had to really be careful. The warden made me his barber, even though I couldn't cut hair, won't cut hair. And God taught me how to cut hair in a 32-hour period. And then I became inmate counselor, where when someone's parent died or something like that, they would lock the inmates in solitary confinement because they'd run. Guys are going to their mama's funeral, whether they get shot or not. And so I was a counselor, you know, and telling them, God did not kill your peeps. The Bible says the thief cometh to rob, kill, and destroy. So that's where, besides a police officer putting me in the back of his car and saying, and the warden, you could be something, dog. I'm telling you right now, God has got you. You could really be something. And that's where I got my backseat ride, where I take people, everyone that I've captured, only one wouldn't listen, by the way, and gave him the infamous Dog Chapman backseat ride.
You know, you've impacted a lot of lives along the way, and now you have your new book, Nine Lives and Counting. You know, as you're telling the stories in this book, taking people through the journey, what's your hope for the impact of Nine Lives and Counting?
Well, at the end of the book, I say that. Okay, so William Shatner's in his 90s, and in his 80s, we're friends. He outran me going upstairs. Very good physical guy. I think he turned 91 the other day. Very good. And he said, you know what? I've really left nothing to people to remember me by. And so he's writing a book. And I thought, what? Captain Kirk? You know, and I thought, you know what? I want to leave a legacy. And in the book, I say, I believe, and of course, this is, you know, dogs believe. I know the Bible says when one man or woman go, you know, ask the Lord to come into their heart, the angels throw down a party. So I said, in the book, when I, you know, I'm going to leave this, of course, I'll pass away, the book will still be there, my legacy. And every time someone reads that book, this book, and gives their heart to the Lord, I'm going to say, Lord, could you page me and let me look down as they do that? And I'm going to ask the Lord for that. So that's what this book is for. You can't make money no more. You guys know that on books. The Bible's the number one bestseller, and that's about it. You know, books have gone way down as far as, you know, I guess there's a comeback, the guy told me the other day, but I think he was saying that, trying to get a blessing. but you just don't, you get out there more, and, you know, more people know you. Oh, I didn't know Doug was a Christian. Okay, well, here's a book. You didn't ever watch the show because, you know, you saw me put him in the backseat of the car and beat him up, give him a cigarette, and pour Jesus down their throat. So here's the book, and it shows, and it goes through, you know, more than the nine lives. That's just the title. And, you know, the headline of stuff now grabs you, right? I wanted to name it Me and Jesus Got Our Own Thing Going. But my PR girl, Jennifer Willingham out of Tennessee, said, no, we're not. And she named it Nine Lives and Counting. And I go, Jennifer, that's about cats. And she's like,
listen, I know Jennifer. I know Jennifer. She's trustworthy and she's smart. So you made the right choice listening to her.
Oh, yeah. And she thinks she's the boss. Of course, you know her, right? And so, yeah, she was, and she's a Christian. So she don't ask, she just says. So, and she was right, you know, nine lives and counting. What is that about, right? So thank God.
Yeah. You know, one of the big things, obviously, in your story, and, you know, I interacted with Beth a number of times. She was wonderful. You know, losing Beth, how did that challenge you?
Well, a challenge. Well, in the book, I say this. Beth brought me before she died a week before and said, Big Daddy, God has taken me out of your life. And of course, I've always been, the tongue is the worst enemy we got, and watch what you confess. I've always said, I have symptoms of a cold. And my mother taught me that. When I said, Mom, I have a cold, she said, no, don't claim it. You have symptoms. So Beth said, I'm going to die. No, you're not. She goes, Big Daddy, I'm dying. God is taking me out of your life. You were called to the ministry. And she said, please don't let me down. She said, I know you've told me you're not going to get married, because I didn't think I was. And she said, you are going to get married. And here's 10 people you better not marry. You know, that was bad. She meant it, right? So, you know, I say all this in the book. When she passed away, it was a year or so where I pulled my car over and told the Lord, hey, you know, I need a mate. I can't find my car coming out of Target. You know, I can cook for myself or buy fast foods. It wasn't ever for that. I need someone to love me. I, you know, Beth was gone. My kids, they love you on and off till you die. Then they all love you. I had no one to, you know, my mommy's in heaven. All my family's, a lot of my, I don't have any grandpas or grandmas left. Everybody's in heaven. So I needed a mate. And as I pulled over my car that night, I'd had enough. And I said, I'm going to go back to the Hell's Angels or I, God, you got to answer this prayer right now. I'm not putting you in a cross, but I'm throwing down with you. And I said, I need a mate, Lord. So I started looking how Adam met Eve. Because I, you know, I believe that God says, if I do it for one person, I'll do it for another. So the first person was Adam, who got a mate. So as I'm scrolling there in my phone, I see all of a sudden in Genesis, God does not expect a man to live alone. So when you pray in faith, that brought my faith. Whoa, I can ask for a woman.
Yeah, and scripture kind of hits you. It hits you where you were right in that moment.
Yeah, and that's what the Bible says. Faith cometh by hearing or reading. It says by hearing, but probably means or reading the word of God. So as soon as that scripture came out and was grabbed me, you can ask for a mate. I don't expect you to be alone. Then my prayer went, oh, thank you, God. Now I don't feel like that. Now let me see. So I went to Adam and Eve, and I always thought Adam, I knew that Adam had, I thought that Adam had, and did, I mean, I know Adam named animals all day, him and God. They probably were twos, you know, one a male lion and a female lion. And I assume where Adam started thinking, well, where's my lion? Where's my giraffe? What's the deal, Bill? And I don't think he said it out loud to God, okay? And so then I thought he woke up, his side was sore, and yee-haw, there's Eve, right? Ooh la la. That is not how it happened. And what happened, biblically, is Adam was asleep and God woke him up. And God said, come here, son. I got something I want to show you. And Adam stretched and felt probably the side and felt, oh, that's a little sore. Had no idea. And he walked up, and between a rock and a tree stood this naked woman. And Adam looked at her and said, whoa, man. And God said, you're right, woman. And he said, blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh. And so as soon as I saw that, I thought, you know, I've been a Christian, read the Bible. Oh, good Lord, every time Sunday school, sang, spoke, testified. I had no idea that's how Adam and Eve got together. And so I went, oh, man, Lord, I am dropping out of Christian.com. I really wasn't in there. But I said, I am not accepting no more phone calls. You bring me the woman. And you got to read the rest of the book for what happened to the rest of the story.
Well, and if we flash forward a little bit, Francie, now your wife, you guys are going around and helping people and preaching to people. Before we go, talk a little bit about the work. Obviously, you have the book, but the work that you guys are doing together as a couple.
Well, Francie's called to the ministry. I'm an evangelist. She's a preacher. And I have a mentor, I have a coach, I have Francie, I have all these men and women of wisdom. King Solomon, the Bible says, was surrounded by men and women, probably, because the Catholics interpreted King James and they didn't like women too much. So King Solomon was surrounded by men and women of knowledge. And so I started surrounding myself around men and women of knowledge. So I have coaches. I have a new coach, Dan, who is coaching how I speak in the Lord, right? And so Francie kind of don't need that. She, and I shoot from the hip, believe me. Sometimes I get in trouble for that. But iron sharpens iron, so I'm still being sharpened. But she has a particular, my ministry is salvation. You know, some have healing, tongues, you get out of the chair and walk, you know, throw your crutches away, all that. Mine is introduction of Jesus to the devil's herd. Mm. I'll also take on some demons, okay, if I have to.
Well, talk about Francie, and then we'll follow up, because I want to know what you just mentioned there. I want to talk about that, but go ahead. Tell me about Francie.
Because I'll remember that. So Francie has a ministry with mostly men and women, but mostly women, because Francie was a gangster. So Francie, and then met, she was raised Jewish at 16, found out she was adopted, went and found her real mother. Her real mother was a rancher in Colorado. So Francie was a rancher for almost 30 years. So ranching, ranchers, widows was not on my list for a new mate at all. Christian, yes, but rancher Christian, not.
not what you thought God was going to bring your way, but here you are. And, you know, you guys are doing this work. And so you mentioned, you know, taking on demons. You know, one of the things that is interesting to me, you look at the Bible, you look at Ephesians 6, the battle between flesh and blood, you very literally dealing with so much crime, so many people enmeshed in it. How often would you say you would encounter what you would call true evil, demonic evil, in the lives of those people you were dealing with?
Well, that's very good. So demon possession, this is all according to scripture, okay? Demon possession is you lose your mind. Now, I've been to prison and I've been to insane asylums, and usually in a hospital on the top floor or in the very basement, they keep the criminally insane. So any Christian could go in there and visit and go down the elevator or up the stairs and see them in their cell. And they got stuff like Mother Mary blood written, Jesus is a punk written. They growl, they look at you. A demon completely possessed person, anybody can see it. For instance, the two naked guys in the graveyard, in the caves, where all the people said, we can't even bind them. You know, they go there. And then Jesus was legion and cast them out into the pigs. Now, demon oppression, being oppressed of the devil, is almost next to possessed. The devil oppresses you, and that is an also spirit of oppression. You can lay hands and rebuke, and that comes out. Then there is given over to a reprobate mind. Demon oppression and reprobate mind is the next step. Possession takes over. And then it usually, a disease starts, your mind loses. Not that people that are Christians don't lose their mind in disease, but they die with Jesus, okay? These guys die in the arms of Satan. So then to get those out, I just learned this. Fasting, I'm not good at, okay? So I tried it. So I hope I mentioned this in the book. I might not have. I think I did it. I think I fasted after the book was written. So I always thought that, you know, I would lay hands on guys and girls and cast out demons. If they were really bad or demon oppressed, I would pass them on to the pastor. Come over here, pastor. Here's this guy. He wants released, blah, blah, blah. Because I didn't fast and pray. I didn't fast. So then I realized, I just learned that legion is a whole different demon, a bunch of them. And much prayer and fasting has to do with that demon. And also, I didn't know anything about the Daniel fast, okay? So the Daniel fast is something we all can do. And you just eat vegetables and fruit and you eat it and you pray. But the secret behind the Daniel fast. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel would not bow down. And so, they threw the three Hebrew kids, the three Jewish kids in the fire. They see three, Nebuchadnezzar said, king, but there's four, the son of God. Well, how do you know what the son of God looked like, right? So then they said, they went to the king and said, listen, make it where you got to eat this food and that food, and you can't bow, you can't pray. So they went to Daniel. Daniel ate what he liked. And three times a day, when he did the Daniel fast, he got on his knees and prayed. You know how hard that is? Trying it, bro. Yeah. I think I've done it one time out of 30 days. I'm a lot of two. Oh, I forgot. And then I'm so tired. Oh, I forgot to kneel down. And I did that.
But you know, you're trying, and that is the first step. Yeah. I mean, how often would you say that you encountered people who were oppressed versus people who were possessed?
Well, possessed, they're criminally insane, murder one, they eat their mother's skin, all that. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer, that demon possessed. Not really too many times because everybody sees them. Now, oppressed of the devil's herd. You know, I've arrested 10,000, probably 9,000 were, and that means they're hooked on dope, they're perverted, they're, you know, messing with little kids. And that's close to, that Jesus, the only unforgivable sin that I could see, and I might be wrong, is when Jesus said, you touch a baby, it's better a rope be hung around your neck and you cast into the sea. So those guys might be possessed. You know, I'm not, the expert on possession, oppression, and da-da-da. But and you live and learn. So as I do the walk with the Lord, I'm revealed more and more and more. You're never going to get revealed all until the day you die. So growing in the Lord is just that. You get more revelation. Oh, that's why that happened. Oh, that's why. And again, it used to come with revelation with age, wisdom and knowledge. But in the last days, I shall pour out my spirit and your children shall prophesy. All those rules are changing because the last days, everything changes except for salvation. I'm telling you, and you know it, all over the world right now, even atheists, something's going on.
Yeah, I mean, even Richard Dawkins is calling himself a cultural Christian, right? So you're seeing people are watching Iran, they're watching Israel, they're watching what's happening, and something is happening.
Yes, and it's all biblical. If we all understood the Bible like Jimmy Swaggart, then, you know, he's getting old, but I remember years ago, he did the study of Revelations in Daniel, and I can't find it anywhere. But those guys like that, Copeland, Swaggart, some gone to be with the Lord, they had the revelation of, it's all in the Bible. I'm telling you, we know this. Every step, it doesn't say Biden and Trump, it don't say that. But it says, Jesus said, the first sign of my coming back is be not deceived. And now guys or girls, girls or boys, deception is lying, political people, deception. Oh, I'm number one. No, you're not. The deception is everywhere. And Jesus said two things, be not deceived and don't believe this guy says he knows what he's saying and he's Jesus, that it's me. It ain't. And how many guys are saying that? You know, so it is coming to an end.
Well, and here you are, you know, and you've been very generous with your time here, but you're out there sharing your story. You've got 9 lives and counting, a bounty hunter's journey to faith, hope, and redemption. And so while all these things are happening in the world right now, all this chaos, you're pointing people to the truth and the healing they need. Dog the Bounty Hunter, appreciate your time today.
Thank you, brother. And the last word again, I'm required, for much is forgiven, much is required. So it's not me. It's the Lord requiring me to do it. Love you. Aloha. Thank you.